Amen.
Do sit as David Willoughby comes to read our epistle for us.
This reading is from a letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 to 8 and 15 to 16. We do not know who wrote the letter, but it contains words of wisdom. You can follow it on page 979 of the Pew Bibles. This letter is about service well-pleasing to God. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who were being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
It's Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 1 and then 7 to 14 on page 849. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
God, our Father, thank you for the gift and the riches of your holy word, and we pray that the living word, the Lord Jesus, may be made known to us, meeting each of us today at our point of need, to the glory of your name and for the building of your kingdom and no one else's. Amen. Would you sit down, please? I thought I had the beginning of this sermon well and truly mapped out about 2 or 3 days ago when I finished it, but just rereading and rehearing and listening again and again to the gospel, it did occur to me that those who were the scrutineers, the Pharisees who were watching every move that Jesus made, were in fact also being watched by Jesus, and the gospel makes that quite clear. But let me go back to the text for today. On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. They were watching him closely. If you like your Bible paraphrased for easier digestion, the Message edition, Peterson's, reads like this. When Jesus went for a Sabbath meal with one of the top leaders of the Pharisees, all the guests had their eyes on him, watching his every move. Watching his every move, little did they know that they too were being watched. Sorry, if you're a vegan, I really apologise for what I'm going to say next. I'll get that in first. But there is a joke that's going around the Edinburgh Festival. How do you know someone's a vegan? They tell you. How do you know... Sorry. But how do you know someone's a Pharisee? How do you know someone is a Pharisee? Well, they'll be scrutinizing every word you speak, every move that you make, and everyone that you associate with. They were watching him closely, these watchers. Of course they were. You see, it's what they did. It was part of their religion. The etiquette of religion was their bag. How it was conducted, by whose rules they played the game, and so on. It's what they did. I wonder if you've ever had that experience of being scrutinized closely. I wonder if you've ever had that experience of scrutinizing somebody else closely. So let's set this gospel, this morning's gospel, Luke 14, in a broader context. After all, don't we know it? Every text that we read in the scriptures has a context, doesn't it? There's a bigger story to be told. In Luke's gospel, more than the other three, they're not exclusively so. Luke zeroes in, he homes in on Jesus' eating habits. Not, of course, that Jesus doesn't eat in Matthew, Mark, or John. It's just that for Luke especially, eating is significant. Eating together, eating is significant. Significant not just for survival, of course, not just for companionship and not just for friendship. Because Luke, among the four gospel writers, for him, eating, parting even, tells us something deeply important about Jesus, about who he is and what he means. It's significant eating in Luke's gospel. In fact, it's so significant that there are about 60 references in his gospel to this important life-giving activity. 2.5 a chapter for the scrutineers among you. Jesus actually sitting down and eating or telling stories about eating or initiating a special meal to be eaten. So that if for some of us, faith is a journey, and that's how we describe it. Distinctly for Luke, faith is a party, or actually a series of parties, several of them. And if I may therefore put it like this, Luke's Jesus is a party animal. In the following chapter, in chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel, we're invited to place ourselves, to immerse ourselves in that extraordinary party held not for the good, not for the great, not for the obedient, or those who know their place in the social pecking order, but for that reckless, indolent, prodigal son. There's a party for him. And if there's a party for that prodigal son, I can assure you there must be a party for me, and perhaps a party for you to join in. And just to bring that context into the 21st century, in a short while, we are going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. Holy Communion. It's the meal Jesus gave us to remember him by. Every text has a context, and there's a bigger story to be told. And so to Luke 14, verses 1 and 7 to 14. And I'm going to assume that you've got a Bible. If you want to open it, read it. I'm not fussed if you don't, but if you do, it will be helpful. At a first reading, you might be forgiven for thinking that the parable that Jesus spoke, the parable that Jesus taught with an earshot and the scrutiny of the Pharisees, is a parable about social advice, about etiquette. Be careful where you sit and who you sit with. You want to avoid social embarrassment at a party. Then think about where you place yourself around the table, or more appropriately, because it was the habit of Jesus' day to behave like that, to eat like that, be careful where you recline, be careful where you rest to eat. And while all of that, of course, is maybe useful to you and me socially, Jesus actually never came to give good advice. Jesus never came to give us good advice about this or that. Niceness. And niceness is not, at least in my Bible, a gift of the Spirit or a hallmark of Christian character. It might be a trade-off of God's activity in you, but it's not actually, as far as I read it, a gift of God's Spirit. If you're nice, that's brilliant, and that's wonderful, and all of you are, of course. The Pharisees understood. They understood very well, thank you, that the etiquette of table manners and who sat where, with whom, and frankly, who shouldn't be invited in the first place was terribly important. Do you think you should be here this morning? Do you think you ought to be here this morning? Do you think you should be invited this morning? Do you think you're not worthy of an invitation? We have a friend who, no matter how small the dinner party was that she hosted, and sometimes it was just four, she would draw up a table plan for the four. Who was going to sit where? To my shame, and to this day, I thought that a little OCD. Just a little OCD. But actually, do you know, not so. Not so in the end. How and where and with whom we sit is descriptive of our relationships with each other and with the host or the hostess, isn't it? So there's more, much more to this parable than table manners or etiquette or guest lists. Now, the real meaning behind this parable is found in a warning to us, to me, maybe to you, embedded in it against pushing ourselves forward, whatever the occasion, wherever the banquet, whatever the reception, whatever the meal. When you're invited, said Jesus, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. You see, in Jesus' day, there was a sort of prosperity gospel at work. There is today. The richer you are, the more God has blessed you, surely, shown his favor to you. The well-off, the educated lawyers imagined that they were superior to the poor, the dispossessed, those without opportunity to study, let alone practice the law. And just imagine the shame, the utter disgrace, if an assuming pole position at a culinary event, literally or figuratively, in the company of all the guests, the host who invited, and I quote Luke 14, the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. You see, I know it in my own experience of life. You may know it in yours too. That pride and conceit are the clouds which blot out grace and the sunshine of the Father's welcome to sit down and eat with him. That's precisely why we do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. You see, we may be unworthy, but we are invited. We may be unworthy this morning, but we are invited to gather up the crumbs under the table, to share in the feast. Jesus spent his ministry standing the world on its head, breaking through the clouds of pride and prejudice, which impose a strange pecking order, which goes something like me first, and you next, and God last. And that tends to write a script for everything we do and all that we are, if we're not careful, if God isn't embedded deeply in the way we behave. The Pharisees could watch Jesus all they liked, but the grace of his invitation would still be too much for them. And this morning, you and I are welcome to take and taste and eat and to share in this foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for those who love God in spite of their etiquette, who love God in spite of the company they keep, in spite of their history or their upbringing, in spite of their grinding sense of unworthiness. For this is not my feast, and it's not your feast. There is one who is inviting us, standing in the midst of us, saying, come and taste and eat. The feast of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, which means my sin and yours. And so we draw near with faith. Just a reminder then about that scripture reading. On one occasion when Jesus was going as he would, to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. But little did they realize that they too were being watched closely. As we sit, so we pray. God, our Father, thank you for your gracious invitation to share in this meal this morning with you. Father, if it's a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, make us ready and alert and watchful. To the glory of your name, for the building of your kingdom, we pray. Amen.